Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Get this off with a two-minute warning. Little surprise. Foles back, throws. Intercepted! It went right through Jeffrey's hands! It's Lattimore!
Adam Peters and company decided to recalibrate the recalibration yesterday, and I love it. He dove into the trade deadline and dove into the deep end and got Marshawn Lattimore. It happened right when we went off the air yesterday, but obviously the momentum was building towards that, and so we had a chance to talk about it yesterday. Clearly a lot more coming up on the show today. Ben's going to join us at 10:40. We will get his perspective on this and really talk about how Lattimore fits. And then at noon today, John Hendricks, who covers the Saints for Sports Illustrated, he will be our guest. So all the talk about will they or should they should have if it made sense, and they did. And I think there is, you know, some risk to this deal because of Lattimore's injury history. But that risk, in my view, was totally worth taking. So let's go through it. And I certainly want to give you guys a chance to weigh in on the phone lines as well. 301-230-0980. The trade, that was all that was done. They did release F.A. Obada to make room for Marshawn Lattimore on the roster. We will certainly hear from Dan Quinn today prior to the Wednesday practice, the first serious prep day for the Steelers game on Sunday. But let's go through it. Let's start with the player. One of the best cornerbacks in the game since he entered the league. You can certainly make the case that he's been a top three to top five corner when healthy. He has also been a guy that has played big in big games, seven playoff games altogether, two interceptions, over 10 passes defended in those games, has been a good tackler, and has essentially been a guy that's taken away the number one receiver on the other team consistently during his career when healthy. This will be a theme to this trade, no doubt, and we will get to that in more detail. He's 28 years old. He's 6 foot, maybe a tad over it, a 195. He plays physically. He is not afraid to tackle. He can be a ball hawk when he wants to be. And again, also when he is playing at full strength. This is the best cornerback this franchise has had since D'Angelo Hall, in terms of having a true number one corner. I would say that's the case. Some of you would probably say D'Angelo Hall wasn't a true number one. Yes, he was. And he actually got better, which was ironic because most players did not when they got to Washington. But D'Angelo Hall had some of his best years and some of his best leadership years as he matured as a player here in Washington. They got a very good cornerback. They got a very good cornerback who has missed a lot of games. That's just the truth. You know, he has already missed a game this year with a hamstring injury. He missed 7 games last year. He missed 10 games the year before. There's only one season in which he's played a complete season, and that was his second season in the league. That's the risk here, is that this guy has a meaningful injury history. And will he be available? Because we all know the best ability is availability. And if this guy's going to be a difference maker on defense, where he certainly has the capability of being a difference maker on defense, he has to be available and on the field at 100%. So I think that is the only concern. Now, are there other issues personality-wise and otherwise? We'll see. You know, we'll see what happens here. This has not been a major issue prior to coming here, but there have been a couple of occasions where there was some question about, you know, the kind of teammate he was, etc. They are getting a true number one cornerback in the NFL, not talent, proven. You know, this is not a projection, this is proven. And the second part of the player, the third part after the player, after the health being the risk, is that in addition to the player being an excellent player, he fills a major, major need. Sorry about that. He fills a major, major need on defense. They have other needs, they do, and their biggest weakness still defensively is stopping the run. But there will be a lot of benefit if Marshon Lattimore is on the field and healthy. Keep in mind, it's not only the fit that he becomes, and we'll talk about where the fit lies in terms of positionally where he'll line up on the field, but this need is a pressing need because Washington has high-stakes games at 7-2. Major high-stakes games the rest of the way. They've got two with Philadelphia, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. They've got a game coming up against Pittsburgh, George Pickens, and now, by the way, Mike Williams. They've got a game against Atlanta later in the season, Drake London, Darnell Mooney. Hell, they have two games against the Cowboys, CeeDee Lamb. You heard of him? He's the only guy they have. But Washington has teams on their schedule, games that will matter at a very high level with respect to, you know, conference standing, division standing, seeding, etc. And then they will play in a postseason where there's the possibility of facing Amon-Ra St. Brown, where there's the possibility of facing any one of two or three capable Green Bay wide receivers, any one of a couple of capable San Francisco wide receivers. So you have a need at the position because you did not have a number one corner, let alone an elite level number one corner. You are in the hunt at 7-2, and the competition you face has big time wide receiver talent that you've been torched by in the past because you've struggled in coverage. But this addresses that. The player is a great player. The player's health is the number one concern. The fit is obvious. The timing of the fit because of the teams and the games they will play was pressing. I love that the organization thought big. This has been a big conversation over the last few weeks. You know, are they going to stick with this idea that 2024 is a building block recalibration year? They are open-minded enough, aware enough, and then they've got the you-know-whats, and they had the dry powder in terms of picks, cap space, etc., to change the way they thought before the season began. Maybe even the way they thought 3 or 4 weeks ago. They're in a position they never expected to be in, you know. I'm sure they expected to be more competitive than maybe the 6.5 over-under number in Vegas suggested before the season started. I think there were signs and things said even during the offseason that indicated that they thought they were better in spots that maybe those from the outside thought. But I don't think 7-2 in first place in the NFC East with the second best record in the NFC overall with a legitimate chance to win well north of, you know, 10 games. To match what they've done for the what they did in 1991, the last time win 11, but they have a chance to do more than that. They have a chance to host games in January in a one and done postseason environment to try to get to a Super Bowl. I mean, that's crazy talk, you know, from where we were 7-8 weeks ago, maybe even 3 or 4 weeks ago. But when they got to 4-1. This conversation started to become a real conversation. When they beat the Bengals and then crushed the Cardinals and the Browns, it was on in terms of we need to think about this season and the opportunity that has presented itself because of what we've done and also because of just the landscape in the division and in the conference. And we have to start thinking about what do we need to take advantage of this opportunity. A lot of teams at 4-1 or 7-2 are not in need of anything. Detroit was because they lost a player to injury. Washington wasn't in need because of injuries necessarily. They were in need because they still have a roster that's not fully developed after one off season. And where it's been hurting the most is on the defensive side of the ball. And we knew during the offseason that corner and pass rusher would be an issue. You know, they have schemed up and they have had some players step forward with respect to pass rush pressure. They did not have a true number one corner. And so that opportunity existed. I don't know if it would have existed had the Saints beaten the Panthers on Sunday. They lost to the Panthers on Sunday. And all of a sudden, Marshon Lattimore became available. It's possible that he would have been available prior, even if they had won that game, you know, in close fashion to get to 3-6. But this team, after week two, was thinking that they were in for, you know, a potential buy at the trade deadline to address a couple of areas of need as they made a big run. If you can take a step back from this is Washington and we know what it's been for so long, and just view it in the context of if it were another team, not even the 49ers or the Eagles, you know, in the NFC, if it were, say, you know, the Bears were having a surprise year, or the Seahawks or the Cardinals are having a surprise year, and the Cardinals did make a move, and they're 5-4, they're not even 7-2. But if you took a step back and said, wow, that team really went for it, they went for it. Because why wouldn't they? They're 7-2. They're in first place in their division. They've got the best offense, you know, or certainly one of the two or three best offenses in the NFL. Their defense is weak. They're making a run for it, and no one would have an issue with it. I think most of you don't have an issue with it now. But as recently as just a few weeks ago, the idea of being aggressive prior to yesterday's deadline was something that not everybody was in favor of doing. No, let's keep those draft choices. If anything, let's sell to acquire more draft choices. It's not about 2024. It's about what comes beyond that. Well, Adam Peters told you yesterday, it is on in 2024. This year matters. And the best part about it is he didn't have to do it at the exclusion of 2025 and 2026 mattering. Because Marshon Lattimore is 28 years old, and he is under contract, even though the contract's non-guaranteed moving forward, they have the ability to actually restructure that deal, make it more cap-friendly as they keep him moving forward. This was, in my opinion, a very good deal in the moment, and if he stays healthy, it will ultimately be a great deal. So let's talk about the deal. Washington gives up a 2025 third-round pick, their own, not the pick they got back from Philadelphia for Jahan Dotson, which, by the way, was Miami's selection. So Miami's selection is going to be a very early third-round pick as it stands right now, whereas Washington's own third-round pick is going to be much later as it stands right now. So they gave up the lesser of their two third-round picks. They gave up a fourth-round pick and a sixth-round pick, and they got Lattimore and a New Orleans fifth-round pick, which, by the way, will be near the top of the fifth round if New Orleans continues to play the way they're playing. So, in essence, the fifth washes out with the fourth and the sixth, and you gave up the worst of your two third-rounders. Not the Jahan Dotson Philadelphia through Miami third rounder, your third rounder, which right now will likely be in the back third, worst case, of the draft, maybe the bottom few picks, depending on how January goes. For a number one corner in a season that is in play to fill a major need. The big risk is his health. To me, this was a totally worthwhile swing, and it's a good trade in the moment, if not very good trade in the moment. And down the road, if he plays and doesn't miss games or plays the significant majority of games, it is a great trade. Big picture, though, for me, because we've talked a lot about this over the last month, I'm thrilled that they didn't get stuck on that's not what 2024 is about. We didn't anticipate, you know, swinging big at the trade deadline, so we're going to stick with what we thought before the season started. That, to me, would have been small-time thinking, and they didn't think that way. They changed their thought process, and they didn't do it for a loner. They didn't do it for an aging veteran. They didn't do it for Von Miller like the Rams did a few years ago. They did it for a player that can help them in this run and in the offs and in the years to come. It's very possible that Marshawn Lattimore would have been a target in the offseason anyway, as the Saints tried to get under their very stifling salary cap situation. I love it. By the way, the final 2 years of his deal are $16 and $16.5 million. They're going to pay about a $600,000 cost the rest of this year because the Saints had restructured his deal to count just $1.21 million for this year. And so he's got about $600,000 left on that deal this year. So you're going to pay that. That's nothing. And then you can restructure. You can restructure because it's a bigger cap number than $16 and $16.5 million, but you can restructure to something that's much more cap-friendly. I love it. What do you guys think? 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Phone lines are open. We'll take your calls next. Denton will weigh in with his thoughts.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Well, the Marshawn Lattimore trade. Do you love it? Do you like it? You okay with it? You don't like it? You hate it? 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. I think one of the interesting things is he ready on Sunday? He has had a hamstring injury, has dealt with that. Does it all of a sudden get better now that he's been dealt to a contending team, as it did with Devontae Adams with the Jets? Two, obviously he is an outside corner, and you put him, I would think, at times with kind of that star treatment on number one wide receivers. We'll see how Quinn and Joe Witt Jr. handle it. But the big question, which I think it's an easy answer to, but I'm not entirely sure, is does Ben St. Juste stay on the outside and Mikey Sanristil finally move to where Joe Witt Jr. and Dan Quinn have said at various times this year, that's where his future is in this league. That's where we see him. I would think that that is what we will see. Washington still has the corners that were on the roster. They did not release Emmanuel Forbes like they released Jamin Davis a few weeks ago. There were stories about Forbes being available. They did not deal Emmanuel Forbes. They still have Mike Davis. But they have a true number one corner on their team. 301-230-0980. Denton, your thoughts.
So first and foremost, I hate that this broke at 12:57:30. When we got off the air at 12:57, that seems to happen very frequently to the two of us. With that said, I love the deal because I think you're getting him at the best time, knowing that you have matchups with Philadelphia, two of them. You have matchups with Dallas, two of them, and those two teams happen to have really good wide receivers. You look at that matchup with Atlanta, and you see Drake London, who's having a really good season. I think he got hurt this week. But you look at all these teams that are coming up on your schedule and say, these guys have really good wide receivers, and now we have a guy that if we need to, we can shadow their best receiver. And it does excite me, the potential of Sanderson moving to the inside or potentially being a guy that might be asked to shadow Devontae Smith. I think that's a much easier matchup for him when it comes to size, speed, and physicality of Sanderson and Smith and then Marshawn and A.J. Brown. So I really like what they did here. I think it's smart that they addressed a massive need. And I love the way that you phrased it at the beginning of the show. They're recalibrating the recalibration. This team has a legitimate chance, Kevin, to win 12, dare I say 13, if things go really right, 14 games. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility here. So, I mean, look, man, like, it's there.
14?
It's there.
14-3. I think right now, because they're so good on offense, they can beat anybody left on their schedule anywhere. But just the idea.
I know, it's crazy.
Of talking 12, 13, 14 wins, but you're not wrong, and they should be thinking this way. Because if you are able to go through the rest of this schedule and only lose another, call it two games, let's say 13-4, you got a really good shot to be, worst case, the two seed. You'd be no worse than the two seed in that scenario. That means you're playing two home games before the NFC Championship game. And by the way, you might host that too, depending on what happens in the second round. You know, you have a shot to do something that did not exist in the realm of any sort of sane conversation 8 weeks ago, not even 4 weeks ago, and you did something about it. You know, I said this to you yesterday on the show, that I was just happy to be hearing and reading that they were looking, that, you know, Valdez-Scantling was somebody that they were rumored to have been interested in, that the Lattimore stuff started to gain steam as we were on the air yesterday morning. And I said to you, if they don't land any of these players, so be it. But I am glad that they are looking at this thing in what appears to be an aggressive posture. Because it's silly to waste these kinds of opportunities. The NFL is truly week to week. You know, and it's barely when you have a quarterback year to year. It's fleeting. This opportunity will likely exist for them because they have found the quarterback more often than not, but nothing's guaranteed. And the landscape of the NFC, yeah, Detroit is really, really good. How nice would it be? Because you added a true number one corner who had a major impact on your defense to play Detroit at Ford Field in an NFC championship game on a Sunday in late January, 6 o'clock kick. How would you like that for the first time in 33 years? And the limitation to getting there was that your defense is average. Overall, subpar. You still have, average is the wrong description. Your defense is subpar. You've got an offense that can overcome it. It creates more margin for error defensively, as we've discussed. But I still think the big issue is run stopping. But the other issue was, you know, if you are able to make them throw the football or they want to throw the football, you got somebody that can actually cover. What else did you want to say, Denton?
Well, I also thought, like, on top of the things that we did say, we've never seen Adam Peters, you know, work before in this capacity. Even still, like, I feel like major action at the NFL trade deadline is still a relatively new concept in the league. But to see him make the decision to go after this, like, I love the idea of draft picks. I do think ultimately they're going to be a team that drafts really well. I mean, we've kind of seen in a small sample size at least what this previous year's draft class has looked like. Brandon Coleman looks good. Mikey Sanders still looks good. But I love the fact that he's self-aware enough to know that, yes, keeping a draft picks and gaining a bunch of draft picks is great, but what are the odds of you getting somebody like a Marshon Lattimore in the third round? Not that high. We can go get him now. So I really love the way that he was able to kind of be flexible with the plan and recalibrate the recalibration in order to understand we're going to go for it as much as we can this year. So I thought it was a great telltale sign of what this leadership is going to be like.
Look, in terms of the deals that were made pre-trade deadline, Devontae Adams is probably the biggest. Marshon Lattimore is number two. And in terms of, you know, the true trade deadline day deals, that was the biggest splash yesterday. You know, and you just said something that's really, really important, and that is when you start looking at, you know, cornerback in the draft, there may not be as many misses as there are at quarterback. It may not be the 1 out of 4, 1 out of 3 hit rate that quarterbacks are. But, you know, the year that Chase Young got drafted, you know who got picked with the very next pick? The guy that people thought was going to be an absolute stud shutdown corner, Jeff Okuda. Is he in the league? He might be, but he's probably on team number 3. We've had corners completely be whiffed on in the draft in the first round. And so the draft is a crapshoot. To say that you're getting a guy 28 years old, entering his prime, for essentially a third-round pick and the lesser of your two third-round picks, and by the way, you move up in a significant way in the fifth round with New Orleans' fifth-round pick, you did well. You did well, and again, even if, I'm going to make this promise, even if this guy plays half of the games that he could play over the next 3 seasons or 2.5 seasons, I'm not going to back off the way I feel in this moment, which is I love the mindset and I actually really like the deal. But it is possible it could backfire, and if it does, it would be, you know, more likely than not, because he just wasn't available enough. You need him in, you know, 75-80% of the games, but all of your high-stakes games. He's been a very good big-game player. He's played in 7 playoff games with the Saints. Yeah, they've had 7 playoff games during his career. All right, phone lines are open, 301-230-0980. How do you feel about the Marshawn Lattimore trade? Do you love it? Do you like it? Are you just okay with it? Do you hate it? Do you dislike it? Give me your thoughts on Washington swinging big, making the biggest splash of the trade deadline day yesterday, trading for Saints corner 4-time Pro Bowler Marshawn Lattimore. Let's start with Stevie Ray. Stevie Ray's calling from Baltimore. Go ahead, Stevie Ray.
I can only say this. It makes me so it makes my heart feel so good to know that we have people like I was thinking, no, let's sit pat. We've got a good team. Let's hang on to our draft picks. Let's see what's going on in the draft, and we'll work at the free agency next year. Well, they proved me wrong. They did. This was certainly just a brilliant move. As you said, they improved their draft status by taking a guy who is, if you were going to put him back into the draft this year, certainly would have been a high number one draft pick. So basically what you did was you gave a third, a fourth, and a sixth, got back a high fifth, and got a number one draft pick, a guy ready to plug in and go. Now, certainly he's got this injury problem. He's got a hamstring. I heard people worried about whether or not he's injury prone. I don't know his injury history. And my question to you is, what is his injury history? Can you tell me that?
Yeah. So there have been – he's missed – he's played in 24 of the last 43 games that he could have potentially played in. All right, that is – you know, that's a lot of games missed. The injuries have been hamstring, lacerated kidney, ankle sprain, sore knee, concussion. He's had a lot of these different injuries. There have been the lacerated kidney was in 2022, had a major ankle, high ankle sprain in 2023. Of the Saints' last, I think it's 43 or 44 games, he's played in 24 of them. So that is the risk here. You know, this guy has been, unavailable to New Orleans too often in recent years. I love how you started that, though. My heart just feels, what did he say, warm? That was great. Junkyard Dog, what's up? You're on.
How you doing?
What's up, sir?
Well, this is the true story of this. He's hell when he's well, but he's always hurt.
Yeah, that's
so
the risk here.
There you go. Look, he's not available. You just gave his record, and he's always hurt. Not unless. Look, he took the bag from the Saints, and he's always hurt. Now he could come here, and you know, and the locker room, the type of team that they're trying to put out there rubs off on him, and he becomes a guy like Darryl Green, who's always available. You know, Darryl would have probably still been playing had he not took that terrible ball against the Rams fell on his tailbone.
Yeah.
So no, this guy, I like the concept and the idea what Peters was going for, but wrong guy or whatever, wrong guy.
All right. Well, that it's not unreasonable to say, sorry, but he's missed 20 games in his last 44, and I wouldn't have given up the third round pick, no matter where that third rounder comes, which will be probably closer to the end of the third round. I just think it's a risk totally worth taking. Look, when the 49ers gave up a boatload for Christian McCaffrey, that was a risk too, because McCaffrey had been hurt a lot in Carolina, had missed a lot of games. But I don't have it in front of me, Denton, but until this year, McCaffrey pretty much stayed healthy and was available, and certainly available for their biggest games. You know, he was injured a lot less, or has been, in San Francisco than he was in Carolina. Remember, Carolina, here it is. Carolina, McCaffrey, when they made the trade for him, all right, think about this, in 2022. Two of the previous 3 years, he had missed 13 games and 9 games. And then in 2022, he was healthy enough, got traded, ended up playing and starting in all those games. And then obviously they lost in the NFC title game. He played all 16 games. Or 16 out of the 17 last year. I think he rested in one of those games. This year, though, he's been hurt. But for a while, it looked good. We'll see. I mean, that you're not wrong in suggesting that that might end up being a problem. I still think it is totally worth the roll of the dice. Greg and Reston. Greg, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Kev?
Hey, Greg.
I love the potential of it. I think that when you talk about the run defense, the trickle-down effect it could have. Stanwer's still in the slot. Great tackler. I think that helps with the run defense.
Lattimore's a good tackler, too.
Agreed. And then Quan Martin and Chin on the safety position maybe can be a little bit more aggressive. Both good tacklers. Both can help with the run defense. And the caller earlier said they love the mindset, and I agree with you. And you know who I kind of feel bad for today? And it's more of a credit to the organization than it is to the people, is the local beat reporters who – They just can't get a read on these guys, and I think it's just more of a credit to the staff and what they're doing.
Know. I think they've had a read on a lot of things. Ben's going to be on with me in about 3 minutes. Ben, definitely things change. You know, 4 weeks ago, they were probably still in that mindset of, we may end up being more of a seller than a buyer. But as the last few weeks have kind of come and gone, and not only have they won, but they've won with what appears to be a dominant offensive football team, your possibilities on this year just have gradually changed to the point where now I think, you know, you don't have to be inside that building to look at them and say anything's possible this year. Like, you have a legitimate team that could go beat anybody anywhere. But you do have a couple of limitations. Let's get through a couple of quick ones, and then we got to get to Ben. Ray and Frederick. Ray, go ahead.
Morning, Kev. If Adam Peters thought that we were pieces away and the fact that he got Lattimore, then you got to feel good. Because right now, the only big thing that's stopping commanders are injuries and our own ineptitude. And ineptitude is pretty much gone from this organization. You know, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Ray. Look, this is not just a move, remember, for this year. It's made now because of this year, but they didn't do it in a true rental loaner format. They did it with this dude having 2025 and 2026 having control. And by the way, having non-guaranteed deals, which will make it, I think, easier for them to restructure the contract with him to create, you know, more of that cap space and get more of it back in 2025 and 2026. There's a lot of flexibility potentially there. Rod and Landover, finish it up for us. Go.
Hey, what's up, Kevin? Hey, I like the move, man. Maybe a new environment to make his body feel better. I mean, that's what happened with McCaffrey. But I would say this, man, because I'm liking our defense a little bit. I mean, I know we struggled against the run a little bit lately, but that pass defense, man, we're starting to get to the quarterback
a little bit. I feel the same way.
Yeah,
can't stop the run though.
Maybe we have problems with the run, but I mean, we get to that quarterback, and we could jump on these teams quick and jump on them early and force them to throw the ball. I think this guy would be a tremendous, tremendous help make that quarterback clutch that ball one or two times, and then Dante Fowler be on his back. So I like it. I like it.
Thanks for the call. Let's get to Ben Standing next, get his reaction to it. We'll talk also about how we see him playing and how the defense changes with him in the lineup and whether or not he'll be ready on Sunday. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980. Ben Standing's with us Mondays, Fridays, but sometimes in between when the news warrants. And it does. He's with us right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. Ben, of course, can be followed on Twitter, on X, at Ben Standing. And you should listen to Ben's podcast, Last Man Standing, and you should read him at The Athletic. So, they made a big splash, and they did it with a player with an injury history, but also a very good player when he plays. So, let's start with... Because you and I have had these conversations, and by the way, I made a point to a caller. It's not like, you know, you or anybody else that didn't think they would do anything were wrong 3 or 4 or 5 weeks ago. That may have been the mindset. If that's true, when do you think it changed, and why did it change?
Yeah, so we'll talk to Adam Peters today. I don't know that he'll tell us too much, but hopefully we'll
what
get a little more
insight.
What time
does Adam Peters speak? Sorry, I just wanted to ask you real quickly.
12:15 supposedly.
All right, Dent, we got to carry
followed
that
by
live.
Quinn.
After our guest at 12. All right, go ahead. We
yeah,
didn't talk
so,
about
yeah,
that
we'll
pre-show.
See, we'll see what he says about that. My sense, though, in talking to some people close to the situation and, you know, paying attention, I mean, I think it's probably after the game on Sunday. I mean, so here's the thing. You know, I kept harping on, like, people getting all excited about or any notion of, like, well, they're making calls or this, that, or the other. I mean, there's so many moving parts. Like, I don't think the Saints were trading anybody, or I don't think they were trading Lattimore until they blew it to Carolina, which I assume they thought they would win, and that's with that win maybe that gets them thinking, okay, we still have a shot here. And instead, they fire their coach and move on. So I think that, to me, is when Lattimore – became more of a real option just broadly. It wasn't just, you know, like the Panthers weren't trading J.C. Horn, even though people wanted to lump him into that. So I think, for one, I think the Saints got more flexible with Lattimore. And two, from what I gathered, was that the talk there turned aggressive yesterday, not before. Before, maybe it seems like to me it was just, hey, what are you thinking? What's going on? Touching base. Yesterday, the trade deadline day is when Washington said, all right, let's take this to the next level. What are we looking at here? And I know the Chiefs were involved. I saw Schefter say that the Ravens and Chargers, perhaps. So, you know, like, we can discuss, like, how much they gave up. You know, I think to a certain degree they gave up more than I thought. The third rounder seemed like it was sort of the entry point to even have a discussion, but they gave up more of the fourth, you know, namely. So that's the part that, yeah, I think says, hey, there was more than just the Commanders. They were just bidding against themselves, but also shows how much they decided at the end that this was worth it. Also, I guess, you know, if you look at the landscape, not only are they 7-2, you know, it's not like the rest of the conference looks particularly strong. This kind of reminds me of 2020 when Rivera early in the season was like, you know, looking at the rest of the division, I think we can win this thing. You look at the rest of the conference, other than the Lions, I mean, you know, what are we looking at? So I think you look at all those factors, I think that's probably, to me, when they said, let's get going here.
Yeah, I mean, we talked a lot about, first of all, the Rivera thing. I mean, they weren't, you know, it was for a division title with a losing record. This is for potentially
for sure
a top two seed in the NFC playoffs, which gives you, based on seeding, a chance to go to the Super Bowl, or certainly a chance to get to the NFC title game. But beyond that, because I think it's apples and oranges, I am interested in what you said in that, and I'm not disputing it at all, but the availability of a guy like Marshon Lattimore made it, you know, a yesterday, hey, let's do this, and maybe it wasn't yesterday, maybe it was the day before, but don't you think the mindset on we should be looking to do something to help our defense, and if something's there, we're not afraid to pull the trigger, that mindset changed prior to yesterday?
Well, see, I'm going to say no, because the whole point for me this cycle is, yeah, if Adam Peters sees a player who's in their prime, who is, you know, not in an insane contract, that the draft capital to give up wouldn't be, you know, touching too much, absolutely make that trade. You still have to get these guys at some point. The question was, how many of those guys were available?
Those were always the parameters of our discussions. I mean, anybody that was saying, just get a rental and pay a first-round pick for it, I don't think that was ever a part of the conversation.
Well, I disagree from where I sat, because I kept hearing all the time that every time somebody would just say they're going to make a trade. Well, I'm just saying in general, they're going to make a trade. Like, that's something, it's very specific. It's like one guy, two guys, you know, depending on what they thought of J.C. Horn. Like, if you're just going to lump in Greg Newsom, who's been, you know, whatever, but he was a recent first-round pick, he's okay. He's still better than what they have. That's not that you're not trading a third and a fourth for that guy. Literally, as I'm saying, like, other than Marshon Lattimore, and if J.C. Horn had been available, maybe him, who, that was the list. Of if you're going to say, what do I think Peters would give up picks for, it was that. So, sure, in general, if this offer had been there 3 weeks ago, maybe they just do it then, because Lattimore fits the parameters of a kind of thing you would do. Like, at some point, you know, I saw somebody point this out yesterday, you know, and I've thought this before, so much of what they need in the offseason are the premium positions that are expensive, you know, pass rusher, corner, possibly a receiver, possibly an offensive tackle. So now, regardless of anything else, they've now checked off one of those things. They're not getting the, like, four bidding wars in the offseason. Now it's one less. So I think that's a good thing. But, again, to give up the picks and take on the money, the guy's got to be special, and I think, or viewed as special, and I think that list was like one or two dudes max. So that's why I just don't think, unless Lattimore, again, I don't think the Saints were making Lattimore. I mean, I talked to somebody last week who's like, the Saints have too many injuries to trade Lattimore. That's the mentality of a team that thinks they're still going for it. Right. Now they're not. So that now that guy's available, and now, again, factor in the record and all that, now I think that's where Peter's like, okay, let's turn this conversation from being an observer to being a buyer.
Yeah, look, nothing you've said I disagree with, because to me this was always a part of the conversation. It was whether or not you'd be willing to pull the trigger if an opportunity like that presented itself, with the idea that the mindset on this season has changed, but not to the exclusion of having that player be available for the recalibration moving forward. But I don't think there's any way to look at this, Ben, and not say that they recalibrated the recalibration to a certain degree because of 7-2 and the opportunity that exists.
Well, I mean, they were a Hail Mary away from the Bears from not being 7-2, right? Like, so, like, I prior to the Bears game, which seemed to be like a test of two teams that were at the relatively same level, and, you know, I don't know that that's still different, even though the Bears look like they're going down now. But like, you know, prior to that moment, I mean, we're worried. I don't, you know, if other people were saying they were definitely the second best team and there's no, you know, go for it, I don't know. But you beat the Bears the way it happened. Then you beat the Giants. The rest of the conference continues to go backwards. Yeah, I think it all makes sense. And again, Lattimore was available. If Lattimore is not available, I don't know that Washington made some big splashy trade for a cornerback.
We're talking to Ben Standing. By the way, it's not even about necessarily thinking that you're the second best team in the NFC or potentially the best team or the third best. It's the opportunity that exists to actually be one of the top two seeds based on the way you're playing offensive football and the way it sets up the rest of the way. That's a legitimate opportunity. Doesn't mean they'll get there. They got two games against Philly that will decide whether or not they're going to play a home game or not. You know, those two games will decide the NFC East this year, more likely than not, and decide whether or not, you know, you're a two seed and you're playing two home games, or you're on the road as a five against the four seed as the top wild card team, or a six against a three, etc. All right. Just one last thing.
Like, from the day that Adam Peters took the job, this was the boldest move he has made. They didn't do nothing else. They did in free agency. I mean, drafting Daniels was just a logical choice. They did nothing else. They ultimately did over the last 9 months suggested anything other than they were staying with the plan of we're building this thing long term. But again,
right.
Deadlines create deals.
Yeah,
when you get to the end,
you just answered the did he change his mind about this season? He did.
Yeah, this week. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't see that it happened 3 weeks ago.
We can quibble on that. I don't think the win over the Giants Sunday. I think at 4-1, 5-2, 6-2, this had to be in their conversations about if an opportunity like this existed, would we pull the trigger?
I think the opportunity. He would have pulled this trigger 6 months ago on a deal if it made sense for the overall plan. In this case, a 28-year-old good player at a position of need was available, but he wasn't necessarily available in week 2 or week 7. That's all I'm saying. Like, yeah, the thing had to be available.
Player, you're right. I said that. I think if they beat the Panthers, he may not have been available.
Right.
All right, let's talk about the fit. I've spent a lot of time talking about his injury history. Clearly, that's the risk, right? You think that's the number one risk. Is there any other risk associated with this deal? They basically gave up a third rounder, and it's the lesser of their two third rounders. If you look at the increased value of the fifth rounder being, you know, multiple spots higher, washing out with the fourth and the sixth. So they basically gave up the lesser of their two third rounders for this player. It's the way I would kind of view this thing. If you view it differently, let me know. But is the only risk his injury history?
Probably. I mean, you know, in talking to a couple of people over the last, 24 hours or so, you know, I had a couple of people say, hey, you know, I've watched him for, you know, whether, you know, I've had a reason to pay attention to him, and it feels like his play is maybe down a little bit because of the injuries, that he's not necessarily the same guy who had the four Pro Bowls. That said, I just had Aaron Schatz on my podcast that'll go up later today, and he was saying to me that, like, based on whatever their his metrics are, that Lattimore, and he was specific to a certain aspect of me, but like was like that Lattimore is basically tracking to be, or currently has been, the top cover corner he's graded so far. So depends how you look at that. I mean, he obviously has been doing well. I also think that opponents typically are not throwing his way, which is obviously not a bad thing. He's had very little interceptions the last 3 years when he's played. I think that's the big issue. I mean, you could look at it also like this. They basically probably had four slots for paying a veteran a good amount of money. They just use one. So, you know, you got to hit these things. You can't just say, we made the move, now it's got to work to a degree. So that's the only other risk. It's like, okay, you've committed now to this, so that needs to work because, you know, they could technically get out of his deal. There's no guaranteed money left, but obviously you're not going to dump him after making this trade. And with no guaranteed money, his agent may be wanting a new deal. So
it may be more beneficial for the team to give him a new deal anyway for salary cap purposes in 2025 and 2026 anyway. All right, let's talk about the fit on the field. Seems obvious to me, tell me if I'm wrong, he goes outside, Benjamin St. Juice stays on the inside, and as we've heard Witt Jr. and Quinn, you know, and I think answering some of your questions at various points during the season, they move Sandra still to the spot that they think will be his long-term spot, which is slot corner. You see it that way?
Yeah. I mean, I think this trade does not only potentially help one spot. I think it helps three spots, right? Because, you know, Lattimore, you know, assuming he's healthy, he's the guy you throw out there against the A.J. Browns and the C.D. Lambs, which guys will have coming up. And those number one receivers have torched Washington this year. So that upgrades that. But now, yeah, St. Juice now, assume if they have Lattimore follow the top guy, St. Juice then, you know, gets, a second or a third receiver. He'll still get targeted probably the most because teams will probably not want to go towards Lattimore a ton. So he'll have to do, be a little more consistent than he's been. But at the same point, he won't have to battle those better, you know, those top guys. And then Sandra still, you know, whenever Forbes was, I don't remember if it was after the Ravens game, but like there was some point in there where, you know, Forbes didn't play. And I asked Quinn, just to be clear, is Sandra still being viewed as a slot? And he's like, yeah, ultimately, yeah. And I was like, okay, cool. So, I wanted to double check because, you know, they could move him back inside whenever they wanted. They just clearly lost any faith that Forbes was a guy that they could use. And, Noah I, as you would like to say, and I probably should say more, he's just a slot guy, which is fine. He's been okay, but he's a slot guy. So, yeah, so now Sanders still goes inside. He doesn't have to give up significant inches to receivers at all times. And he's a tough guy. He plays bigger, plays more physical, I should say, at least, than his limited size suggests. So, yeah, this is a good move in that regard. And then just sort of lastly, the run defense is maybe, the biggest issue in terms of, a specific part of the game as opposed to the talent of the position. Maybe this helps there also because now if you can have Lattimore be the island guy, so to speak, I'm not putting him in that shutdown corner category, but just saying if he can be the guy who's covering someone one-on-one, now that frees you up a bit more both on the other side of the field and maybe even with the run game to have more people focused on these other elements and have an extra body closer to the line than they've had when they've had to play more zone and have the guys back.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, though, in the first half, how many times they had eight in the box and still couldn't stop the run against the Giants. I mean, on the Jones keeper, there were basically nine players crowding around the line of scrimmage in that game. So that's still a concern, but I get your point as to, the fact that you actually have a guy that hopefully can take number one out and make the team a little bit less versatile. Last one, because you tweeted this out. I don't have the tweet in front of me. I was just looking for it. But basically that you had sources kind of indicate to you that they were open to trading Emmanuel Forbes. They didn't. But just give me, 30 seconds on that.
Yeah, and sort of to the point of when do they get aggressive on Lattimore. I try to talk to as many people as I can. I've been doing that in this regard for the last month or so, the trade deadline, and a fair amount of teams and people, and like I said, there wasn't anything on Washington for in any direction.
Valdez Scantling, I thought there was something out there about him. I mean, that's not a splash move, but
yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, but it was also saying after the fact, it wasn't yes, they looked into him, but it didn't. Now, to me, that doesn't make a ton of sense anyway. But whatever. It's part of your due diligence. And so then towards the end here, I had multiple teams say, hey, they're making Forbes available, which, I think on the one hand, where it's that's no surprise, right? I mean, they clearly are not engaged in. But the fact that last week he was the only player besides Marcus Mariota to not take a single snap, again, I'm not saying that they want him necessarily out there, but in any capacity, no special teams, no defense, no nothing, it suggested to me, if we don't have to, let's just leave him in bubble wrap in case we get an offer. But it'll be interesting to see what happens. It won't stun me if he's basically inactive for the rest of the year, right? Because he doesn't play special teams. He's played five special team snaps this year. They just added Lattimore, which means, Igbinoghi is essentially now the fourth corner. Unless there's injuries, I don't know that Forbes gets back to playing corner. And, at least Michael Davis, who hasn't been in the rotation for a while since week two, but he does play special teams. So I could see Forbes being inactive for the rest of the year, barring injury.
Thanks for doing this. We'll find out, I guess, if Lattimore's healthy enough to play on Sunday against Pittsburgh. We'll hear from Adam Peters. I would certainly expect him to say this was, something that popped up that we just could not, turn away from. And by the way, Mickey Loomis, and I saw that you tweeted this out from Matt Paris, right? Matt Paris, who works in New Orleans, was with the Washington Times, that Mickey Loomis said that Saints received, that Loomis said they received good value for Marshon Lattimore. He's still one of the better corners in our league, and Washington is getting a good player for their playoff push here and their run, so I wish him nothing but the best. By the way, does anything speak to the NFL, the New Orleans, the first 2 weeks of the season, and then where they are 7 weeks later? I mean, that was as good a start offensively to a season that we've ever seen, and now they're 2-7.
Basically, the Commanders were a Giants healthy kicker away from being 0-2, and the Saints were the hottest team in the league at 2-0, and here they are
completely flipped.
Thank you for doing this on short notice. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, man. See ya.
Ben Standing, everybody. Denton's got some news next. We're going to talk a little college football today because we didn't get a chance to do that yesterday. The college football rankings came out. And we've got NFL 5 burning questions today. We've got NFL buy and sell. We got a lot to do. We got a guy from New Orleans coming on at 12 as well to talk about Marshawn Lattimore. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.